We are called. We are chosen by you for this hour. Let us see the revelation of it, the impact of it, the power of it, and how we are to respond to that call in the days ahead. Let us see it today, Lord God, in your word. I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. It is through your word that we have the transformation of our inner man. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. In your precious, most holy name, amen. Praise God. Ephesians. Ephesians. I absolutely love this book. We're just getting started, and I love this book. I feel like Paul was writing it for us today in this hour. I'm pretty sure he was. In Christ, according to his will. And we talked about that last week. What it means to be in Christ according to his will, actually stepping into Christ. According to means to bring from a heavenly plane down into an earthly realm. That means we are receiving heavenly impartation from the Lord God to function in this earth. We literally cannot do this on our own. That's why he makes available the Holy Spirit to us. That's why he makes available the heavenly impartation into us in this earth. It is his will that he wants to see done in this earth. It is his will that the children of God should hunger for, that we should thirst for, that we would long for. Each and every day of our lives, that we would rise up and say, Lord, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, bringing forth God's heavenly plans, purposes, and will into the earth. It's a powerful, powerful understanding. It's a powerful truth. It's a powerful, I don't know, it's almost liberating to know what it means and to really grab hold of the fact that we are here to fulfill God's will and not our own. That means we step out of the way and let him move in our lives. We step out of the way and let him move in and through our lives. If we can get our flesh out of the way and step into Christ, the work that we will do, that we will have the privilege to be a part of, sows into the earth and into the church in the last days. That's powerful. That's powerful. To step into the knowledge and understanding and the truth of that and let it grab hold of you. As he's been speaking to me over this, as we've studied this week, it's like he changed something in me. And he has since we, you know, he has over the last many months. But since we started our Ephesians study, he changed something within me. He began to speak purpose into my life. Purpose into my life. Ephesians says we are chosen. Chosen. That word chosen means out of and speaking to a conclusion. To select out of a highly deliberate choice with a definite outcome. as with the destination of divine selection for salvation. Divine selection for salvation, for purpose, chosen by God to do what you're doing in this earth. He didn't choose to bring you forth 3,000 years ago before Jesus came. He didn't choose to bring you forth to walk with Paul, although wouldn't that have been awesome? He didn't choose to bring you forth to watch him die on the cross and to see him resurrected. He chose to birth you now in this hour where the fullness of the power and the authority of the living God is going to be birthed in this earth. That's why he chose each of you for this hour in time. Because something profound is about to happen. We are going to see the promises that we have studied when we studied the covenant. We will see the promises of the grafting come forth. We will see it. In our day, we will see it. We've been chosen to bring this forth. That's why things are so difficult. That's why we have to press through. That's why we struggle. But we struggle together, and together we grow in God. We grow in strength in him. As we go low, he increases. What does Fred say? You be me do. It's not about us. It's about us being willing in this hour to allow God to function through us, to allow him to flow through us. We are chosen. We are chosen. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Before he formed the earth, before he separated the light from the day, before he put the plants in this earth, before he put the animals and the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, before he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him, you were chosen to be born in this hour. Chosen before the foundation of the earth. God, infinite. He has no beginning and he has no end. He knows all. He knows every breath you would take, every tear you would shed, every time your heart would be broken. He knows it. He knows every circumstance you'll go through in your life before you are taken to heaven. He knows it. Not only does he know you, he knows every person on the planet. Just try to wrap your head around that. We have a hard time knowing if we have multiple, we have a hard time with one child knowing everything they're doing. Picture that. One child knowing what they're doing all the time. It might be easy the first year of life. They get moving and everything changes. I got a grandbaby in my house and I hear the pitter-patter of those feet and I think, oh boy, he's coming. He can open every cupboard. The toilet is a playground for him. We got to keep the bathroom doors shut because he thinks, oh, it's a pond. Let me play. He has no idea what happens in that toilet. But that boy is full of life, and he goes. He's only a year old. He's curious, and he explores. There could be three adults in this house, and we don't all know what he's doing all the time. Yet God knows. Everything you've done from the moment of conception through the time you will enter heaven. And he chose you. He chose you for this hour. I have a very close friend who years ago, thinking about the infinity element of God, it would almost send her into a panic attack. Because there's no beginning and no end. There's no boundaries around it. It was so overwhelming. It's something that you just have to accept by faith and trust and rely on that knowledge. Trust and rely on your Creator. John 15:16 says that Jesus chose and ordained us. Why? So that our fruit should remain in the earth. Anything that we ask in His name shall be done. He's granted us the power and the authority that anything we ask in His name will be done. When it's according to His will, and if we are going to do this sort of thing, we need to know what His will is. And how do we know what His will is? We pray and we study His word. We walk in obedience. When we submit to His will, we can pray according to His will. So that anything we ask in His name will be done. That our fruit would remain in the earth. Think about that for a minute. Our fruit remain in the earth. Consider for a moment Billy Graham, who passed away recently, the nation's pastor. Think about the fruit that he has left behind. Not only his children who carry on his work, but the souls that he has saved, the souls that he led to Christ in his crusades. That man had a gift, an anointing, a calling to bring forth the gospel message. And the anointing of the Lord would come through and pierce the hearts of thousands and thousands of people at one time. That is His purpose. That is why God called him. For the season of time, He called him. Billy Graham went into the ministry very young in life. And he stayed in ministry all the days of his life. Countless souls will be in heaven because he submitted to the will of God. He answered the call of God because he was chosen by God to be in the earth during the season of time he was there. Think of the fruit from Billy Graham. First Peter 1:1-2 says we were chosen, we were elected by the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. Unto obedience. The sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. I know often if someone say they're sick for a long time, we just automatically think, and I mean, I remember, and I've had people email me about this because people have come down on them because they were sick for an extended period of time. Well, if you're in the will of the Lord, why are you so sick? Why are you still so sick? And having gone through physical trials myself, I've come to learn something. God has to work our junk out of us. He has to sanctify us. And when we have a stubborn streak, it's even harder for him to sanctify us. Sometimes God is trying to teach us a powerful, powerful lesson. When I was laid up in the hospital in Oregon after having surgery number 9 in the late 90s, I was in so much pain from the reconstruction that they did. I was in so much pain, I thought I would snap. All I could do was say, Jesus. I didn't know if I would make it to the next second, let alone the next minute. All I could do is say, Jesus. I have no idea how long this lasted. Time was non-existent to me in that time, in this experience. It was non-existent. All I could do was say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I just, that's all I could say. Because the pain was so great. I had no idea how long it took. But when it lifted off of me like a wet blanket being taken off of me. And he said, now you understand my grace. I will get you through. You pull on me, you call on me, you lean on me, you trust in me, and I will pull you through. When you have nothing else, I am there, and I will see you through. Hold on to me, because I am your life. I am your breath. All that you need, you find in me. Hold on, and I will see you through. I've never, ever forgotten it. It so impacted me. It so impacted me. There is truly nothing that can't be endured if we hold on to him, because he will give us the grace to see it through. In Christ, chosen. First Corinthians 1:26-30. Paul's telling the Corinthians, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, according to the flesh, mighty or noble are called. Why? Because it's not about the person. It's not about status. It's not about wealth. It's not about positioning. Because when we walk in that, when we walk in our positioning, people look at the position instead of the power of the living God flowing through you. God has chosen the foolish to confound the wise, the weak to confound the mighty. The base and despised hath he chosen. Things which are not, to bring forth things that are. It's not about us. It's about God. We have to go low. We have to allow his work to be done in us, to bring us low. So that when we reach forth our hands to touch the lives of those he's called us, chosen us to, the fruit that we're to leave in this earth, they don't look at us. They see the obedience to God and how God will flow if you step into that place in him. They see the glory of God coming out of a broken vessel. They see the power of the living God flowing from a nobody. Because it's not about us. Why do you think he chose fishermen? Why do you think he chose a tax collector? Because we were to look at the men. It's the heart. He knew if he chose kings according to the earth, they would all be demanding to be number one, the head disciple. He knows the end from the beginning, and he chose us for this hour. That he might be glorified in this earth. That he might be the one we draw people to. One thing I really, really love about Pastor John is when we're in, that we've done the last two rallies, and I leaned over and I said, that was really powerful. And he talked about the call of Joel's army and how the Lord has been speaking it into the earth, even through his prophets, the release of Joel's army. It was a very powerful message. And I leaned over. I said, that was really powerful. That was wonderful. And he says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All glory to God, who brought forth the message from him. All glory to God, who brought forth the message. That's where we're to walk. That's where we're to walk. Thank you, Lord. Redemption. We're chosen by God for this hour. And he brings forth his redemption. Redemption is the distance between the sinner when he first got saved and the believer where they are today. That's redemption. It represents the distance between the rescued believer and what previously enslaved them. Sin enslaved us. So we get saved, and we are way over here. And since you can't see me, we'll just say we get saved in Georgia.
Good place to be saved.
Yes, amen. We get saved in Georgia. And our redemption represents the distance between what once enslaved them on the coastline there in Georgia to where we are today. How far have we come? How far are we? Are we one state over? Are we two? Have we reached the Mississippi? What about Nebraska? How far are we from the point where our Lord saved us? Sin is that which separates us from God. So we come to him and he cleanses us. And we step over the line of sin. We step over the line of that cannot be in the presence of God. When we are encapsulated in our sin, we are encapsulated in darkness. We are called, we are chosen to be a light in the earth. This earth right now is encapsulated in darkness. Encapsulated in darkness. When we get saved, we're to be a light in the darkness. When the light comes forth, it begins to shine, and it is a tiny light at first. A tiny, tiny light at first. And I saw this today when I was reviewing the scriptures. I saw the work of the Lord in the believer. I saw the refining process. I saw where when we first get saved, the earth encapsulated, and I saw this little flicker like a candle. So picture this. As you go from Georgia, not that Georgia's full of sin. I just want the Clarks and the Gasways to know this, but not that Georgia's full of sin. You get saved, for example, and as you travel across the country, you are getting closer and closer to fulfilling the fulfillment of your call. And as you travel across the country, and the truth is, I probably should have started in California because, you know, it is California. But for the sake of this example, we're going to start on the East Coast and work our way west. As you travel across the country, and by the way, this is on foot, as you travel across the country in this darkness, your light begins to shine brighter and brighter as he works out of you the sin, the flesh, the hardness of heart, the thoughts that are not of God. It is a long, painful, tedious road. But as you prepare to climb over the Rockies, as you prepare to climb over the mountain ranges over here, your light begins to be seen from miles around. It's not easy. I don't know anyone on this line that has climbed up to the top of a mountain, let alone the Rockies. We have people here that go to Yosemite and they try to climb El Capitan. People die trying to climb that thing. But by time you get to the top, your light is shining so bright, it can be seen outside this darkness into the atmosphere. Because you've pressed through every obstacle. You've allowed him to strip you. By the time you're climbing mountains like that, the only thing you take is what you can carry while you are climbing the steep edge of a mountain, a rocky edge. You've got your rope. You've got your harness. You got your little clips and your little things you hammer into the rock. That's it. Because if you try to carry anything more than that, you are carrying more than you have been created to carry. It is you and that mountain. And that is it. By the time you get to the top of that mountain, God has stripped you from everything that you are. Every muscle is on fire. You are trembling under the weight of it. You don't even know how you're going to get down. And it is just you and God, and that is all. But it's at that point, that the fullness of his plan for our lives gets imparted into us. It's at that point that the fullness of who he is, the work of the Holy Spirit. We have so stripped everything away. He has so stripped everything away. It is just the tiny remnant of where we began in Georgia. And all the rest is Him. And we are a light shining forth the glory of God. We become a vessel used by Him for His glory. The refiner's fire is so bright. At the peak of that heat, when they refine gold, that heat gets up to 3,000 and something degrees. It is glowing. It's a white hot glow. The light shining forth. It goes in as black powdery dust comes out. Gold, beautiful, malleable by Him. Persecutions. The book of Acts is full of those. The persecutions we'd endure in this process will be great. We read about those who are martyred for the sake of the gospel. And when that happens, something is released in the martyr that spreads the gospel. I watched this film. It was done many, many years ago on the book of Acts. And it shows Peter and John when they had gone in and they had the man asked for alms, the lame man, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. Rise up and walk." And the man stood to his feet, and the persecution they endured for allowing the Holy Spirit to flow and heal that man. But as they are laying there, being whipped, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the move of the Holy Spirit, Peter shouts out, "John, rejoice that we are counted worthy. Rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer for His sake." In front of all the people, rejoice that we are worthy to suffer for His sake. Romans 8, 28 through 30. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. We would be brought into the image of His Son. Does that mean we're going to be transformed on the outside to look like Jesus? No, that means He is burning from us so greatly, people don't see the outside of us. All they see is the power of the living God flowing through us. Flowing. Why do you think the enemy works so hard with pride in this earth? Why do you think the enemy does that? When he does something like that, what happens? A person gets elevated. They begin to see things that are about them. Look at the stars in L.A. People go to Hollywood in the hopes of seeing, not even meeting, seeing a star that's on a movie screen who has likely paid a hefty price to get there. But the enemy says it's okay. Look at the fame. People want to be you. And so they press through the sludge and the slime of being violated, abused, mistreated. Their bodies put on display for all the world to see. Why? Pride. They could be a broken shell of a person, and the enemy keeps telling them, "They all love you. They all love you. Keep on, keep on, keeping on." People scream when you walk out on stage. As Justin Bieber rose to his fame, as he rose to his fame, I watched as the media showed that young boy's life. And my heart broke as I watched mothers take their little girls to his concerts. And both mother and daughter were screaming. Mothers literally passed out from the excitement of seeing Justin Bieber from 100 feet away, 200 feet away. I thought, what kind of an example are they giving to their children? They are worshiping this boy who has likely sacrificed much of his soul to be where he is today. Turns out he did. Turns out he did. Why do you think these starlets have breakdowns by the time they're 18, 19, 20, and 21? Because what's being done to them, the enemy is working them to use them so that all eyes would be on them instead of God. We allow God to break us, to shape us, to mold us. Not so we can stand on stage or walk down the street and have people squeal in delight. But so Jesus can shine through our lives and we can do things in this earth to set people free so that our fruit will be poured in this earth. Our fruit. If we die doing it, so be it. Our fruit will be multiplied. Seeds have to die in order to bring forth life. Are we willing to do that? Is our flesh so important to us? Is it so significant to us? That we are not willing to give it up to bring forth fruit in the earth. The film I was talking about was done like back in the 90s, and it was kind of a little cheesy. The acting wasn't that great. But I watch it because you get a visual representation of the book of Acts. And the first time I watched it, you know, you see, and Jesus is taken up into heaven, his arms go up. It kind of looks like Superman taken up into the heavens. You know, you just press through because the truth is what you see is the sacrifices that were being made to bring forth the love of Christ and the gospel message. And as Peter laid there saying, John, rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer for his sake. I saw through the low budget of this film. And into the eyes of those around them. And what God must have done in that moment, 2,000 years ago, as they suffered. Every time they suffered, every time they spoke, when the Holy Spirit was released, thousands came to know the Lord. Thousands. Because it wasn't about their flesh. Paul was he received 39 lashes, I think 5 times. He was stoned and left for dead, I think 3 times. He was shipwrecked once or twice. And it's, when Paul was first called into the ministry, when Paul was first saved, he went from a man with all this knowledge, and Jesus broke that down and showed him it was actually about him. That's a humbling experience. And he walks through his life, and he is a man with such great knowledge, the enemy easily could have provoked him to rise up on an altar and be worshipped by all. But before he died, he says, I'm the greatest sinner of all. His flesh was broken that Christ might flow. He was racked with pain every day of his life in those last days. Every day of his life he was racked from pain because he had the scars. The scars from suffering for the gospel. the broken bones that had healed from being stoned. The miles and miles and miles that he walked. Without support shoes or insoles. He considered himself the greatest sinner of all. Because he knew that though his flesh was weak, through the weaknesses of his flesh, Christ was glorified. Jesus gave him the grace he needed to press through. When he was racked with pain, Jesus pulled him through. And he pressed on toward the goal of the high calling. The fullness. Entering into the fullness. First Corinthians 6. 19 to 20 says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You are not your own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God." We are instructed not to grieve the Holy Spirit in our members. Why? Because the Holy Spirit resides in us. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Sin. Sin. As we prayed this morning, what did we pray? Obedience. As they walk into obedience with you. It became a theme of our prayer. How God has brought forth healing and victory as we've stepped into obedience. Obedience. You're to put away envy and strife, maliciousness, slothfulness. Put away the things that don't bring glory to God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit resides. And the further you get from the moment you were saved, the greater your light will shine in the earth. First John 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not," just like they didn't know who Jesus was. Remember that? Wait, you're the Son of God? I thought you were to be the king. You're the Messiah. You were to be a king. You're to save us. I don't think you're the Messiah. Very few recognized it. The world will not know us. We will walk down the street and they will not scream and chant our name. But when we go forth and do the work of the Lord, the enemy must flee. Because we bring forth the light of God into the earth and the fruit will be born. We bring forth the presence of God. When we go to a GOE and we repent and we pray, do you know what happens on a spiritual plane in that area? We wreak havoc in the enemy's camp. That's our call. We're not called to fame. We're not called to have our name glorified. We're not called. So if the enemy ever starts saying that to you, you need to just kick him out of your head, because that's how the enemy will bring you down. We are there to fulfill a call that the demons will scatter The enemy must flee because we are bringing redemption to this nation. We are bringing forth a standard of righteousness in this nation. And as intercessors, pressing in, we are on our face and nobody sees it anyway. It is about the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit, flowing through us and doing the work in our earth. And then who gets the glory? God. Because we've overcome darkness through our obedience. And the light of the Lord is deposited in the earth and shines forth, bringing forth the fruit. That is our call. We were called. We were chosen to bring glory to the living God, to allow him to carve us out and fill us with our Holy Spirit, with his Spirit, his presence, his, him, all of him. The less we have of ourselves in us, the more of him we contain. It becomes, our mission becomes to know him more so that he can flow through us more. To do his will, to step into obedience, to fulfill the call you've been chosen to do in this earth. I shared this last night. You know, there's very little of us that will remain. Like 1/8 us, 7/8 him. How much have we allowed him to carve us out? How far are we? How far are we from the point of our salvation? To that top of the mountain. Like I said, very few even make it to the top. When they're up there, they're by themselves. Just them and God. That is us. Just us and God. Bringing forth the fruit we've been called to bring forth. I just want to touch on one more thing. Excuse me. We studied being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Being sealed. This impartation is the earnest of our inheritance with him. And in our study, we learned how the Holy Spirit was first given to the Jews and 8 years later given to the Gentiles. And this will, and make sure you remember this, because as we go through in Ephesians, it's important we remember this. But the impartation of the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment, the security that the rest will be paid. The impartation of the Holy Spirit. When we first get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sealed by him, it's a down payment that the rest will be paid. It is a process to get from Georgia to California. It is a process. But the more we shed of ourselves, the more the Holy Spirit will impart another piece of our inheritance into us until we step into the fullness of our calling. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're teaching us through your word the journey. You're teaching us that it's not easy. You're teaching us the struggles. You're teaching us Paul meant when he said, I die daily. Because every day our flesh has to die that more of you can be imparted. Oh, Lord God. Our heart's cry is for you to be glorified. For you to be glorified. That the fruit would be harvested, Lord God, and you would be glorified. Let us, Lord God, give us the strength. Give us the understanding. Truly of what it means to be chosen by you for this hour. It's not just us. It's the intercessors, Lord God. It's those that are willing to make the sacrifice. Those that are willing to grab hold and never let go. That your will might be done in the earth. That each of us, Lord God, would shine forth with that white hot fire. Bringing forth a light. Piercing the darkness that encapsulates this earth. Do your work. Do your work. And prepare us, Lord God, for what lies ahead. In your precious name.